Good morning. Welcome to all of you here and also those watching online. Starting off with some announcements this morning, the offering plate will not be passed during the service. You can find it in the entryway. If you're interested in joining us for our Shady Oak Bible study, you can reach out to Pastor John. His contact information is on the back of our bulletin. We've got our midweek Lent Supper and Bible study series titled Looking at Lent from Luke 22, starting on March 2nd. Supper is at 6 p.m. and the study is at 6:30. So that starts this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. So be aware of that. And then looking ahead, on March 26th, we've got a family bowling event at Northern Air Lanes from 12:30 to 2. So if you'd like to join us for that, you can reach out either to... I'm blanking on your name, Joy. You can reach out. I just looked at her and her name was just sucked out of my head. You can reach out to Joy or Samantha Donovan if you're interested in joining us for that bowling event. Now I'd like to call on Pastor John to talk about the retreat at Eye Point.
Thank you. Some of you have been hearing about the retreat we have planned for Saturday, March 19th, at Inspiration Point Bible Camp. This is a retreat that's we're going to be focusing on finances, church finances in particular, but it'll be opportunity for some Bible study, see what God has to say about the topic of money and as it pertains to us as individuals, but also as a church, and then some kind of nuts and bolts things about church finances. But while this is started out as being specifically targeted for our church board members, it's not limited. If you're a member of Stavanger, you care about the ministry of Stavanger, you want to just come along for the fellowship, you are welcome and encouraged to sign up. Tammy has the sign-up sheet, and I need to get a head count into the camp later this week. So today is a really good day to sign up. Somehow you get out of here today and you intended to sign up and didn't, just contact me as soon as possible and we'll get you signed up. The cost is $30 and pay that to Melanie. You can write the check to Stavanger. Yeah, not to Melanie personally. We're going to be talking about finances, how we handle this. Should go to the church, not to the treasurer, right? Thank you, Melanie, for handling that. I can also receive that and pass it along. But if you have questions about it, please let me know. I'd be happy to say more about it. But that's all. Thank you. I guess I don't take any questions now if you have about that. No? Okay. Go ahead. Is yours?
Oh, this one's fine. Inspiration Point is one of the ministries that we support here. So I'd also like to draw your attention to your bulletin insert on some March prayer requests for Inspiration Point. So they're asking for prayer for the students who are attending the confirmation retreats that will be going on soon. I'll be taking some students from Stavanger there, so be sure to pray for those students that will be attending those confirmation retreats. They also ask for prayer for Gretchen Larson, who's taking over the food service manager role. And they also need male counselors, so pray that God would be stirring in the hearts of young men to serve in that way there at Inspiration Point. Are there any other announcements that should be made? Is there coffee after the service? Yes, there will be coffee after the service. All right, then let's begin our worship service today with our call to worship from Psalm chapter 99, verses 1 and 2, and also verse 9. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord, before you, all the nations tremble. You reign over all the earth. We exalt and worship you in this place that you have gathered us. We thank you for giving us this day and for providing a place for us to meet together around your word. We ask that you would bless us now as we gather in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll begin worship and song this morning with our first song, Lovely Noise. Let us continue to worship God now as we come before Him with a confession of our sin. Let us also hear the words of absolution. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin, reading aloud under the heading Congregation. And please rise as you are so able as we confess to God. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, in true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and he has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together this day. We come to you from a broken and sinful world, one filled with all kinds of pain. We think specifically of the events unfolding in Ukraine. Lord, you alone can establish lasting peace. We pray for both Russia and Ukraine. We ask that Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky would both be guided by you, that you would give to them your wisdom and discernment. We pray for the civilians who have been displaced or separated from their families. We ask that you would strengthen and support your church in Ukraine, that it may care for those in need. We pray for Olga and her family who are in Ukraine and ask that you would preserve and protect them from all danger. We ask that in these uncertain times, our hope would be found in the promises that you have given to us in your word. We pray for those who are dealing with sickness or illness, those who more often feel pain than comfort. You, Lord, are well acquainted with pain and suffering. You empathize with us in our weakness. So we ask that those in need would feel the comfort and peace that can only come from you. As we continue to worship you, we ask that you would bless Pastor John as he delivers your word to us this morning. Quiet our minds and fix our attention on you and on your word. And now let us pray as our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I need a volunteer. I thought I'd have first. All right. Well, if you can have a seat on the... Actually, I'll put you over here. You can have a seat there. Yep, right there. Face me. And I'm gonna shine a bright light in your face, just so you know. And this can hurt your eyes. So we don't want that to happen. So I'm gonna give you some sunglasses. When you get old and go to the eye doctor, you get these really cool sunglasses. So you just put that there.
It's so cool, and they definitely stay on my face.
And they do. And we're not gonna use just one. We're gonna use two. And just kind of hold it under if it wants to fall. And three for good measure. This is a really bright light.
Okay?
All right. And then, and this will kind of help hold them on. You've got some sunglasses there. All right. How are you seeing now?
I can see that light up there.
You can see that light up there? Okay, we'll take care of that. let's get this situated here. That's a kind of... adjust it so it kind of fits on there. Is that, okay, that's good. All right, how are we doing now?
I can't see.
You can't see? All right. Don't look directly at this.
So I can totally see where it is at.
Oh, yeah? All right, here we go. How do I look?
Amazing.
She's so amazing.
All right, so, you can see that light?
Totally.
Oh, wow. Okay. But it's not too bright? Doesn't hurt your eyes? Okay, good. We didn't want to hurt your eyes. Well, you can take that off. You're a good sport. Thank you for that. You know, yeah. This morning, I'm going to hear in the Bible about something that happened with Jesus. And his face and his clothes got really bright.
so bright that it probably maybe even hurt a little bit to look at them. So bright. And we're going to learn how that shows us something about who Jesus is. You know, Jesus is a real person like us, but he wasn't just a real person like us. He was also really God. And we get to see a part of Jesus that his followers didn't get to always see. It's like a really bright light. So I want you guys to be listening and hear what we learned about Jesus from our Bible passage. Thanks for coming up and being patient while we got everything ready. You can go back to your seats now.
I'll invite the congregation to rise as you're able for the reading of God's Word for today. From Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. And I read in Jesus' name. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to a high mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. This is an unusual event. It certainly was for Peter, James, and John. They hadn't seen anything like it. However, they had heard about things like it. They had heard from their scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, what had happened with Moses and Elijah, two large figures from God's story through the Old Testament. Moses, you may be familiar with Moses. He was the great prophet, the great leader God called up to take his people out of Egypt when they were slaves. A great deliverer. He led the Exodus, the going out from Egypt through the wilderness and finally all the way up to the Promised Land. Elijah, another great figure of the Old Testament, a prophet who came years after Moses, who called the people back to faithfulness to the covenant, to the commands God had given the people through Moses when they were in the wilderness. And they had since strayed and gone after false gods. And God raised up prophets like Elijah. Things were so bad in the days of Elijah. They were killing the Lord's prophets in the northern kingdom of Israel. He felt like he was the only one left. And finally, there came this big showdown. You see, the king of the north, Ahab, his wife Jezebel, had sponsored and encouraged the worship of Baal, false gods. And they had all these prophets of Baal that were leading the people astray. And the people were wondering, who really is God? Is it the Lord God? the one who revealed himself to Moses and led the people out of slavery in Egypt, the one who performed great wonders all through their history? Or was it this Baal? Well, they had a contest to see who was God. And you may recall what happened. Elijah said, well, let's make an altar with a sacrifice on it. Stones, wood, the animal sacrificed on top. And whoever answers by fire to consume the offering, that one will prove himself to be God. So Elijah said, Baal, prophets of Baal, you go first. Call on Baal. And they danced around and they cut themselves and they went in all kinds of antics. Crickets. Nothing. And Elijah prays to the Lord so that they would know who the Lord is. And kaboom! Fire fell from the sky. Vaporized not only the sacrifice, the wood, but the stones and all the water they had doused it with. Nothing left. And the people said, the Lord! The Lord, He is God. They got it at that moment. That's Moses and Elijah. People who had power encounters involving the Lord God on mountaintops. People that every synagogue attending Jew would know about. People who are associated with events when God came close to the people and it was terrifying events. Mountain-shaking events. Thunder, lightning. So you can cut Peter, James, and John a little slack when they were a bit afraid on this mountaintop. And all of a sudden, two men who haven't been seen alive for centuries on planet Earth show up standing next to Jesus. Jesus, flanked by representatives of the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets, the Word of God, which all point to Him. Maybe you've seen pictures of one of these types of solar generators that some people have been experimenting with. It's a large tower out somewhere in the desert, and at the top of it, they have a piece that is heated, and then that material in there is used to heat water and turn steam turbines to generate electricity. But how that gets heated is there's these array of mirrors all around the desert floor, focused up to that tower, focusing that sunlight to make it extremely hot, like 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, to the point where it melts salt into this molten mixture that is used to heat steam and make electricity. It's all these mirrors pointing up this sunlight, focusing this intense light where it's super hot at the top of that tower. That's what it's like on top of on the Mount of Transfiguration here with Jesus. The Law and the Prophets, everything from the Old Testament is focused up and pointing to Jesus, the one who was to come. And what are Peter and James and John doing? Well, they had fallen asleep. You see, Jesus wasn't glowing bright when they walked up that mountain. He looked like he normally did, like one of them, like a regular flesh and blood person. And they go up the mountain to pray. And it appears the disciples fell asleep. And it's only as they're starting to wake up that they are greeted by this bright light, this sight, these two men who haven't been seen alive on planet Earth for a really long time. And Peter, being the first to offer something to say, he says, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Just in case we missed the point, Luke includes the parenthetical statement. He did not know what he was saying. Ever find yourself there? Don't know what to say, but don't let that stop you. I've done that. And while he was speaking, this cloud comes. When God shows up and a mountain's involved, there's usually a cloud. And often, the mountain starts shaking, and so do the people. And it says in verse 34, they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And furthermore, the voice comes saying, "This is my son, whom I've chosen. Listen to him." Moses and Elijah depart, and they're left with Jesus. The voice confirms what Moses and Elijah had said, and all of the Old Testament prophets. They all were reflecting that truth of the light that comes to a focal point in Jesus. And they were told to listen to Jesus. Peter wants to preserve the moment. He wants this glory, this great mountaintop experience. But Jesus has something else in mind. If we back up just a few verses and earlier in Luke chapter 9, after Peter had been asked, who and the disciples with him, Who do the crowd say I am? Jesus asked. And some say, well, John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still one of the prophets long ago. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ of God. And then Jesus goes on and says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And then he says, if any would come after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Just after this transfiguration experience, Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, after he had done a miraculous deed of casting a demon out of an evil spirit out of a boy, and everyone is marveling at it, and Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 9:44, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. But they did not understand what he was saying. What he was saying was what he was talking about with Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop. You see, in verse 31, Luke says, they, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, spoke about his, Jesus, departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. They spoke about his departure. The word departure in the Greek language is Exodus. It's where we get the name of the second book of the Bible. From the Greek translation of the original Hebrew, it comes at Exodus. It means the way out. The exit. Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about his exodus. When Moses led an exodus, it was good news for the people. They were being delivered from slavery, from oppression, through the wilderness into a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place where they could live as God's free people. Elijah was used by God to bring clarity to the people of Israel, to defeat the prophets of Baal. And Jesus now has an exodus, his own. The exodus of Jesus, however, is not going to be the destruction of human forces opposing the Israelites. He wasn't leading a military campaign on the human level. No, Jesus' exodus was against sin, death, and the power of the devil, our worst enemies. Jesus' exodus was preceded and begun at another mountain, the Mount of Olives. When they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration to pray, Jesus' disciples got sleepy, and so they did on the night he was betrayed. Jesus took them out to the Mount of Olives to pray, and they fell asleep. But as Jesus prayed, his face changed. On the Mount of Transfiguration, it became bright and radiant, just like the face of Moses when he had spent time with God in the tent of meeting. So much so that he had to put a veil over his face because the people couldn't bear to look at the radiance of Moses when he had spent time with the Lord. Jesus' face, after praying on the Mount of Transfiguration, became radiant, showing his own divine glory. And yet, when Jesus prayed on the Mount of Olives, his face changed, but it was different. His face broke out in sweat of blood. Jesus' exodus, it was the battle where he won by surrendering himself. Isaiah the prophet, one of those mirrors from the Old Testament, perhaps the most grand and well-polished mirror of the Old Testament. In chapter 52 of Isaiah, it talks about the appearance of Jesus when he went on his exodus. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Lord, it's good for us to be here. It was good for them to be there on that mountaintop. But they couldn't stay. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Jesus performed his exodus, and we have been freed. But like the people of Israel under Moses' leadership, Having been freed from Egypt, they weren't to the promised land yet. They were still in the wilderness, and so are we. This isn't our home, and we still face struggles just like they did. But the Exodus, the work of redemption, just like it was for the Israelites freed from Egypt, once they had crossed the Red Sea, that deed was done. God had saved them, had freed them, and he had destroyed Pharaoh's army pursuing them. They were no longer a threat. Even so, God's Exodus, Jesus going to Jerusalem, the deed is done. Death and Satan and sin, their power has been broken. And we only are waiting patiently to enter the promised land. Moses and Elijah, reflectors pointing toward Jesus, who was himself the source of the light. And so too, we, as the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, because we too have received the Lord through faith in Jesus, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are all alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. It's good for us to be here, because he is with us, the one who has led our exodus for eternity. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Now, please rise as you're so able as we sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.